Today on the pastor study, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16, and verses 13 through 17. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The title of our study today on the pastor study is, "Whom do men say Jesus is?" Whom do men say Jesus is? Notice with me the question Jesus asks his disciples in verse 13. Jesus asks the question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" My dear friends, this question is still pertinent today, is it not? In fact, the answer to this question will determine where a person will spend eternity, either in heaven or the lake of fire. In our study today, we want to see whom do men say Jesus is. First, we want to look at religion's response. Religion's response. And we know that there are many religions out there, amen. But let's look at a few. The first one we want to see is the Jehovah's Witness. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ is not God in human flesh, but rather a created being. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was a God, but not Almighty God, who is Jehovah. The Mormons, amen, the Mormons say that Jesus Christ was a pre-existent spirit like the rest of us. He is set apart from the rest of us by being the firstborn of God's spirit children. In fact, the Mormons believe that Lucifer is a spirit brother of Jesus, the secondborn creature of God after Jesus. Now, the Christian scientists, amen, who are headquarters right here in Boston, Massachusetts. Their founder was Mary Baker Eddy. This is what they believe who Christ is, who Jesus is. Christ is the ideal truth that comes to heal sickness and sin through Christian science, and attributes of all power to God. Jesus is the name of the man who more than all other men has presented Christ the true idea of God. Jesus is a human man. Christ is the divine idea, hence the duality of Jesus the Christ. What a bunch of nonsense, amen? What a bunch of nonsense. How about Islam? We hear a lot about the Muslims and the Nation of Islam. What do they believe concerning Jesus? Well, Islam, the Nation of Islam, believes that Jesus is equal to other great men, but is not superior to them. There was, they believe, a historical figure named Jesus, and he did some good things and had some pithy sayings that have stood the test of time. But there is only one God. So to claim deity for Jesus is to add gods with God. again, what a bunch of nonsense, amen. If you can see, understand what these people are teaching, amen. What does the Word of God say about such beliefs that we've just read? We've looked at the Jehovah's Witnesses, amen, and the Mormons, the Christian Science, and Islam. What does God's Word say about such beliefs concerning Jesus? Well, over in the first epistle of John, if you'll turn there with me, in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 22 to 23, this is what the Word of God has to say about such beliefs concerning Jesus. John the Apostle said, "Who is a liar? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." And then we read in 2 John, the second epistle of John, in verse 7, the Word of God says about those who believe such things about Jesus, as we've just quoted, says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Amen. Now, we've looked at some of religion's responses. Now what we want to do is look at some individual responses. In other words, individuals who responded to who Jesus is, you know, who they say that Jesus is. The first one, of course, is found right here in our passage that we began our study with in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, he answered Jesus and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we see over there in Acts chapter 8, of course, we have the great account of the Ethiopian eunuch getting saved. We know that the evangelist Philip was preaching a revival in Samaria, was he not? And the Holy Spirit of God said him to leave the revival, amen? Many were getting saved there in Samaria. But God knew there was an individual soul in the desert of Gaza that needed to be saved. So praise the Lord, Philip was obedient to the Holy Spirit, left Samaria where the revival had broken out, and went to the desert of Gaza, and he saw this Ethiopian eunuch, amen, riding a chariot, reading out of the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit said, "Go to him," and he did. And he got up there in the chariot, and of course this Ethiopian eunuch was coming back from Jerusalem. He was a proselyte of Judaism. He had converted to Judaism, amen, had come back from Jerusalem to worship, amen. And he was reading in Isaiah about the crucifixion of Christ. And, of course, Philip preached to him Jesus, and they came to water, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, "What hinders me from being saved?" Amen. And of course, Philip said to him there in Acts chapter 8, Philip had this to say to him, amen. Of course, what we have in the New Perverted Bibles is they take out this verse, and what they do is they take out verse 37, and then they just have, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Amen. So what the perverted Bibles are teaching, a salvation by a baptismal regeneration. Amen. In other words, the water system of your local town or city is what saves someone. But no, 37. Philip said this. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, this is who the Ethiopian eunuch said Jesus was. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And praise the Lord for that. And he was saved, and then he was baptized. Praise the Lord for that. And then we have another individual response to whom to who Christ is. We see that in Luke chapter 23. Amen. And, of course, in Luke chapter 23, we have the account of the dying thief on the cross. We know that Jesus was crucified between in the midst of two malefactors, amen, two thieves that rightly deserved to be where they were, amen. At the beginning, they both reviled on him, amen. But then one of them realized that he deserved to be in this position, and he realized, as he looked to Jesus, who Jesus was. And he asked Jesus this. He requested this of Jesus as he turned to Jesus there in Luke chapter 23. And he turned to Jesus in verse 42, and he said to Jesus, and he said unto him, unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. See, he recognized that Jesus Christ was Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ was Lord. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And, of course, Jesus answered him and said, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That thief died, and he went to paradise. He went to heaven, amen, because he knew who Jesus was. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Then we have another individual response. The Apostle Thomas, amen. Remember when the Lord first appeared to the apostles, Thomas wasn't there. And he said, well, the other apostles told me you missed Jesus. He was here. And, of course, Thomas said, unless I see, you know, the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side, I'm not going to believe. And then, of course, Jesus appeared there in John chapter 20 and verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto Jesus, My Lord and my God. Amen. He realized that Jesus Christ was God. He was the Son of God. Amen. Now, how about that great account over there in the Gospel of John in chapter number 4, where we see that Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and he talks with that woman at the well there at Sychar's well, amen, at the well at Sychar, Jacob's well. And she realizes then who he is after he's spoken to her, amen. He said, if you take of this literal well here, you'll thirst, but if you take of the water that I'll give you, Jesus said to her, that you will never thirst. And she said, give me to drink. And then she realized who Jesus was, that he was the Christ. And we're told there in John chapter 4 and verses 28 and 29, the Word of God says, The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? It's got to be, she said. Here's the Christ. This man told me every single thing that I did. He knew that I had been with five husbands, and the one that I was with now, I wasn't married to. He told me of all that I had ever done. Is not this the Christ? This has got to be the Messiah, amen? And, of course, we have the individual response of John the Baptist of who Jesus was in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 34. And John said, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And then, of course, Andrew. Amen. Andrew. We know that was Simon Peter's brother. In John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, amen, in verses 40 to 41, we see here Andrew telling, amen, or telling, responding to who Jesus was. It says, And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Amen. He knew who Jesus was. Amen. And then we see Nathanael in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 49. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 49. It says, Nathanael answered, answering Jesus, Nathanael answered, and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Amen. Nathanael had it right too. Amen. And then, of course, we see the centurion. The centurion at the crucifixion. After Christ had been crucified. Amen. After Jesus Christ had died, he gave up the ghost. We see that the centurion knew who Jesus was. Amen. He said this in Mark chapter 15, in verse number 39. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man, he was referring to Jesus Christ, was the Son of God. Amen. Even this Roman centurion, amen, knew who Jesus was. And then, of course, last but not least, we have the Apostle Paul. We see that he gets converted on the road to Damascus here in Acts chapter 9. And we see his individual response to who Jesus was. We're told in Acts chapter 9, in verse number 20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Amen. And here was a man. Before he was converted, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. Amen. He was circumcised the eighth day, as all Jews are, male Jews were. Amen. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, a great teacher of the law of his time. He persecuted Christians. He was there at the stoning of Stephen, amen. And now here he is. He's testifying who Jesus is. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. In other words, he went to the Jews. And he testified that he, Christ, is the Son of God. He is who he said he was, amen. Now, what does the Word of God say about such responses that we looked at? You know, we looked at quite a few here, individual responses, did we not? Amen. We looked at what Simon Peter had to say. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Ethiopian eunuch believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The dying thief said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. The apostle Thomas exclaimed, my Lord and my God. The Samaritan woman left her water pot and went to the city and said, is not this the Christ? And John the Baptist bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. And Andrew went to find his brother, Simon Peter, and told him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Nathanael testified, and he said to Jesus, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. The centurion at the crucifixion regarding Jesus said, truly this man was the Son of God. And here we see the Apostle Paul, right after his conversion, testifying about Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, what does the Word of God say about such responses? Well, in the first epistle of John, in chapter 4 and verse 15, the Word of God tells us, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. In other words, that person is saved. Amen. And then in 1 John, the first epistle of John in chapter 5 and verse 1, the Word of God says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen. And praise the Lord. Now, let's continue. Who does God the Father say Jesus is? Well, we have an interesting statement at the baptism of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, we're told, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then again in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, at the Mount of Transfiguration, we read in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5, it says, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. How about the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit, who does the Holy Spirit say that Jesus is? Amen. In John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, in verse 26, Jesus says, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then again in John, the Gospel of John in chapter 16 and verse 14, Jesus said, He shall glorify me, for he will receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, the Word of God says, No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen to that. Now, what does the Scripture say? Amen. Who does the Scripture say Jesus is? Well, the Scriptures tell us very plainly and explicitly that Jesus is God manifest or revealed in the flesh. Notice with me what the Word of God says, who Jesus is. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Word of God says, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified of the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we see, first of all, the Scriptures say that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. The Word of God also tells us that Jesus is the Word. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, with me, chapter number 1. John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1 to 3 first. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're told here in John 1:1 that the Word was God. He is God. Then we read, The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. The Word has always been with God. Amen. Because He is God. All things were made by Him. So we see the Word is the Creator. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And then we see also, as we drop down to verse 14, that the Word was made flesh. Gospel of John chapter 1 in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That's Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the Word of God also tells us that Jesus, who Jesus is the creator and sustainer of life. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter number 1, look with me, if you would, at verses 16 through 17. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. The Word of God says, in the context is talking about Jesus, For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Then verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. So we see, who does the scripture say Jesus is? Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. He's the Word. The Word was made flesh. Amen. Jesus is the creator and sustainer of life. Amen and amen to that. Praise the Lord. And of course we know that Paul the Apostle told the elders at Ephesus that God purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. So we know that Jesus Christ, amen, is the Son of God, is God. Amen. Now as we conclude our study today, my question to you is this. The most important thing is not so much what anybody else says who Jesus is, but who do you individually say Jesus is? And how you answer it, how you answer that simple question, will determine where you'll spend eternity. Amen. You'll spend eternity either in heaven or in a lake of fire. Amen. We've seen over and over and over again, according to the Word of God, to the Scriptures, according to God the Father, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, amen, through individual testimonies, responses of who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. That Ethiopian eunuch believed with all his heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He got saved. Now, if you think he's a good man, or he did many good things, or he was a prophet, amen, and that's it, then, my friend, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Because remember what the Word of God says. They're in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 with me. And I'll conclude with this. 1 John 5, beginning in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. Here's the record that God gave concerning his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in his Son. And then here we are. It can't get any simpler than that. In fact, all of these words are one-syllable words in 1 John 5:12. Listen to me now. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We're not talking about physical life. We're talking about eternal life. Amen. After you die. Amen. Eternal life in heaven. You'll have eternal life one way or the other. Either it's going to be in heaven or in the lake of fire. Eternal life goes on forever. But if you do not have the Son, if you do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he died for your sins, amen, was buried and rose again the third day to save you. If you've never repented of your sins, asked God to forgive you, and prayed and received Christ into your heart, won't you do that today, right now? Amen. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study.